just the same.
+312-981-7200 to play What's in the Box. We have one contestant on the line, and we have two spots open. So we have one spot open right now. So we need a contestant to challenge Pat, who's on the line. 312-981-7200. Hey, Pat, how are you doing tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very well. Have you heard us play What's in the Box before?
Yes, I have.
Do you feel like you have a system down, or you kind of just go with the sort of the tone of the way the reviews are read?
I take a wild guess.
Okay. See? And I think that's appropriate. It's as much fun to, I think it's as much fun to just hear how the reviews are written and read. And, cause some of them you can kind of tell, but it's a little tough. I mean, usually there are a few words that will give it away, and we are waiting for one more contestant to play What's in the Box. 312-981-7200. And we have a gift card from Lou Malnati's and a gift card from Apt Electronics. So you win either way. Pat, where are you calling
Thank
from?
You. Mm-hmm. Park Ridge.
Oh, from Park Ridge. Have you had a chance to ever go to the, when you knew they were showing the Searchers on Thursday at the Pickwick? They have one of the. They were celebrating the 60th anniversary of the movie.
No, I did not go. I've only been to Pickwick, even though it's just down the street, just a few times.
Why is that?
I don't know. I usually go with friends that live in other suburbs, and we go over there.
Ah, I gotcha. Well, it's just one of those beautiful old theaters that, you know. And by the way, if you haven't been there recently, they did replace all the seats. I had not been there for a long time, so now they're all rockers, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I love that. What's the last movie you saw?
Sully.
You saw Sully? I'm so jealous.
Yes, saw that last Saturday.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
It is awesome.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I want to see that so badly.
And Tom Hanks is so awesome on it, mm-hmm. and he's just very good. And I also saw him on Jimmy Kimmel the other night.
Uh-huh.
And they had the real Sully there. And they made a short movie of Sully doing the life story of Tom Hanks.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And it was comical. It was so, so good.
Oh, that's great. Pat, I have good news for you. We have another contestant to challenge you. We have Harold on the line. We do, in fact, have one.
Oh, good.
We have a guy-girl situation. Well, it's guys against girls tonight. Harold, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Patty. How are you?
Very well. Have you heard us play What's in the Box?
Yes, I have.
And where are you calling from?
Sycamore.
From Sycamore. Excellent. I think this is our first time having a contestant play What's in the Box from Sycamore. If I am wrong, please correct me, but I think that I'm right. Elliot, you're looking confused. It makes a difference.
Wait, you don't have like a landmark or something from Sycamore?
We should have thumbtacks, right? We should have like every community that plays What's in the Box should be marked off.
There should be something there because every time it's where, no matter where someone says they're
from. It
was
the first time.
You know something like in their block. You knew that there was a movie theater down the street from this woman's house.
I know. That's because I used to take the 68 Northwest Highway bus to get to the Park Ridge. As a matter of fact.
We should put a box in our yard to show that we played.
I love that. You're absolutely right about that. Well, it is now time. Rob Martier has joined us in the studio. Roger Badish is up in the newsroom with his reviews.
Somewhere up here.
Ready to go. And Rob, I pulled all new reviews tonight, so you'll be pleased to see. And once we run out, there you go. Here, wait, we need a couple more here. There you go. You're all set. Share those with Tim over there. All right, so reading our reviews tonight, we have Tim Williams from Poor Souls. He is our bartender extraordinaire. He is a creator of a great bartending consulting group. Let's put it that way, right? Would you put it that way, Tim?
Yes.
Yes. All right, then. Rob Martier, our newsman. Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. Roger Badish, a jack of all trades. And Tim has questions for you later. But right now, we are playing What's in the Box. Pat is up first. Elliot, please read for Pat.
All right, Pat. Again?
Yes.
I'm just going to read it as is written.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
These are great. Excellent product for the price, even if they only last a year.
That is a toy.
And that is correct.
Yeah, I don't
know
why.
Well done.
Thank you.
Isn't that a shame?
Thank you.
I know, a year.
It lasts longer, I think. I know, a year.
I smell a ringer.
What gives out first, the battery or the toy?
Sometimes the motor. Rob Martier, will you
jobs for Americans. He wants to talk about his revolutionary plan.
Toy. I say toy.
Appliance. That was an appliance.
Tool. Okay, Pat's on the board with one correct guess, and Harold will now hear a review as read by Rob Martier.
All right, Harold, you ready?
Okay. Yep.
Still using this a year later.
Appliance or toy? Appliance, you think?
Appliance.
Okay.
Attaboy, well done. It's an appliance.
Right. Ooh, we're tied already. This is exciting.
Yeah, you can't say tool because that, I mean, that.
Yeah, it could go either way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it often does. Tim, will you please read for Pat?
Yes, here we go. That was a quick one, so I'm going to go with a more elongated.
That's what she said.
So far, it's been great, and we've used it almost every day. The personal size attachment is great. So easy, my daughter uses it. I didn't see that until I started
reading. Wow.
On that last line, I hope it's an appliance.
Tim?
Yes, it is. Thank God.
Wow. I know. You never know. I'm getting a little hot under the collar as well. Pat is ahead by one. It is 2-1. Roger Badish will read for Harold.
Wonderful. Here we go. Mm-hmm. This one actually has a low speed, but still has plenty of power at the higher speeds and has the little speed burst button also.
I'm going to say appliance.
You'd be correct.
Wow, you guys are on fire. I'm not going to say anything.
Is that
Elliot?
Four straight now?
It's a streak. You don't ruin the streak.
It's like when someone's got a no-hitter going. You don't
you
jinx
doing?
It.
Oh, Elliot.
All right.
Sorry. You were reading.
Okay, pressure's on.
Elliot, please read for Pat.
All right, Pat.
This
one's short and sweet. Bought it for my mom, and she loves it. Lots of power.
Appliance.
That is correct.
Hey!
Yeah.
This is fantastic. 3-2 right now. 3-2. Here we go. Rob Martier will read for Harold.
This is exactly what we're looking for, and it was a great price.
Oh, wow.
This is exactly what we were looking for. It was a great price.
I'm going to say toy.
Harold, I'm sorry. It's an appliance.
Oh, Harold.
Was it?
It was an appliance.
It was indeed.
It was a Ninja Blender.
I was pulling for you.
Mm-hmm. Tim, please read for Pat. She
Again,
is now
a ninja
winning
blender
3-2.
Could and, be anything.
Yeah, it's true. Could go either way. All the attachments and such.
All right. The 7 different settings are a plus. It is fun trying them all and finding which one you like best.
Yes.
Appliance.
Oh.
I know you wanted to say toy, and that would have been right. It's a toy.
Oh,
it's a toy.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. Roger, you can help Harold. Tie it up right here.
Oh, really?
Yes.
We're going for the tie, Harold. Here
tie.
We go.
Go, Roger.
All right. The design is okay. It's just really lacking in power. The seller is fantastic. I would order from this seller again.
That's tough.
I'm going to say toy.
Wow. Can you see this paper from down there? Can you? Because it's a toy.
It's a tie. It's a toy tie. Let's let's take a quick break here. We have a tie going into the break. Pat and Harold are neck and neck in What's in the Box. More after this on 720 WGN.
All made out of tacky-tacky, and they all look just the same.
I love Steve Martin. Who else is singing? Does it say who's doing the... what was that? Oh, is that Kevin Nealon? That's like Kevin Nealon is singing. That's so bizarre. Oh, anyway, that's our music for What's in the Box, and you're listening pretty late. We are in the middle of a heated battle between Pat and Harold. Roger Badish last read for Harold, tying up the game. Right now it's time for Elliot Serrano to read for Pat.
All right, Pat, let's bring this one home, okay?
Okay.
All right.
I'll try.
I'm just going to read it like it was written. After 2.5 years, its motor died. They only give you a 1-year warranty. They do not stand behind their product. It is pretty expensive to last for a short period of time. It wasn't like I was killing it. Still, it died.
Wow.
Oh, gosh. Let's go with toy.
It's an appliance. Oh. I'm sorry. Oh, that was an appliance.
Okay. Oh,
it's all right. We're still tied.
Still tied.
Rob Martier, please read for Harold.
All right, Harold. Pretty good product. Hope it holds up. Noticed a small crack. However, so far, it's doing a great job. Small crack, doing a great job. Small crack.
Oh, my God.
Crack.
Small job.
I'm going to say appliance.
Attaboy.
Here you go.
Well done.
That was a crack in the ninja. What, Tim? It's true. Yes, Tim.
I had such a good one.
We're not done yet.
We're not done.
No, Harold. No, it's 4-3.
No, I thought we were tied.
We were tied at 3-3. It's best of five.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were tied four to four.
I was wondering why you're telling Pat to bring
best
it home.
Best of 11.
I thought you were like asking for pizza later or something.
First of all.
Sorry.
I don't deliver.
No. Well.
Appliance.
Applies. Tim, please read for Pat.
My wife loves this thing. I'm scared of it personally. It feels like it has enough power to sustain flight.
It's a toy.
Oh, it's an appliance. What?
Wow.
What? I really thought it was a toy. Man.
Wow. Sustained flight.
I feel like in that... Well, whatever.
Oh, sorry. That was one of my favorites. And I just hit my tooth on the mic.
Either someone dropped a phone or you hit your head.
I hit my tooth on the microphone.
Oh, sweet.
That's a pretty late first. Okay. I'm sorry. All right. Okay. Compose.
Breathe.
Roger Badish, please read. Harold could win here. He is ahead 4-3.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. All right. Here we go.
Okay.
This was a cheap unit, but many months later, it is still functioning well. If you are not using this every day, I would highly recommend it.
I'm going to go with appliance.
Oh, my goodness. You're correct.
Hey, that was misleading right there. Harold has won.
Well done.
What's in the box
tonight? Congratulations, Harold.
Aw, Pat's
a sportsmanship.
I know. That was lovely, Pat. Both of you were excellent competitors, and we're so grateful you joined us tonight for What's in the Box. Hold on the line, and Craig will get your information and see what we are sending to Sycamore and to Park Ridge. Harold, you have your choice of a gift card from Lou Malnati's. Go to loumalnati's.com, everyone, for some of the best pizza anywhere, and over 40 Chicagoland locations, and a gift card from Apt Electronics. Apt Electronics in Glenview is your place for everything you need in your home. You can go to aptelectronics.com or visit the store and say hi to Steve Shapiro. The reason I had the Ninja blender reviews up is because I have an amazing blender that just went kaput on me. It started smoking. When you start seeing smoke coming out of your blender, it's time to stop, right? That's kind of like feeling resistance. You got to stop.
Isn't that like there's like a band in there that's like loose or burning
or something? I took a picture of it. In your bartending experience, do you resist having to make anything that has to go in a blender? Like anything with chopped ice?
Yeah, well, you don't have a blender.
You don't have a blender?
No. I mean, there are places that do it.
Right.
Like Money Gun. Money Gun in the West Loop is... They brought back like pink squirrels and stuff like that with a vengeance.
What's a pink squirrel?
It's honestly, I don't even know what it's amaretto.
got to be grenadine in there to make it pink, right?
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's delicious. It's one of those sort of like guilty pleasure things, like mm-hmm. like a frozen pina colada.
You're pretending like you don't know what's in it because you don't want people to know you drink it.
No, it's definitely. It was the first thing I got when I went there. I went there the day they opened, and I looked my buddy Dustin right in the face, and I said, "Make me a pink squirrel."
Pink squirrel. Wow,
it was awesome.
You have to be almost belligerent about it. Do it now.
A little bit.
Well, tell us a little bit about Poor Souls, your company that you have created.
We make cocktails less obnoxious than some people.
What's an obnoxious cocktail?
I feel like there aren't that many obnoxious cocktails. I feel like people that make cocktails sometimes make cocktails obnoxious with their sort of mustachioed attitudes and whatever. I'm happy, though, that it's becoming a thing of the past. People don't really do that much anymore because at this point I feel like you're the minority if you are the sort of the vest-wearing mixologist type. And so our goal is make people comfortable with cocktails and make people feel like when they go to a bar, they shouldn't feel ridiculous for asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
More educated when you go to a bar. So, you know, people don't get to charge you $14 for something that's mostly fruit juice and nonsense.
That's gotten kind of out of hand, hasn't it? When you go and you see a drink for that much.
Yeah. But
I mean, sometimes, like $14 to $16 is kind of the...
Yeah, but tell them about the good stuff that Poor Souls does. You guys are like Tupperware for guys. You can do you can do like parties and stuff like that. I mean,
yeah.
Because when we talked about it before, it was awesome.
So basically the idea behind the company or the idea in general is just that I worked at a company... Or I'm sorry, I worked at a bar that I thought was possibly the worst. It was the epitome of everything that was wrong with the restaurant industry in Chicago. It was a place where the people that ran it and the people that owned it refused to change, refused to offer anything better to the customers, but just would incrementally increase prices for no reason. Just because, you know...
People will pay for it.
Right, because people would pay for it. And it was like... It started off as a great restaurant, and in their sort of 7-year period, they turned into not a great restaurant. And I was there towards the tail end of it. And so when I quit, the idea was, okay, how do I have something that's fun for people, that's educational... Right, like there's this huge void where everybody you never go to a restaurant now and pay too much for food. Everybody's a food critic now. Everybody's a foodie. Everybody sort of cooks at home. Everybody knows at least what to expect.
Right.
Right. Bravo, Top Chef, The Food Channel. There's a million and one resources to sort of like casually make you a more experienced, more knowledgeable consumer when it comes to food. And when we started Poor Souls, there wasn't that for cocktails. You could sit at a bar and get a menu and have no idea what was about to pop out in front of you.
Right.
And so the idea with Poor Souls is, or was, and always has been, and will forever be, let's take the sort of guesswork out of it and let's make it fun and let's be that first resource. Eventually, there will be cocktail programs on TV and
sure.
whatever. But for now... As there's not in Chicago, we sort of pride ourselves on being, it's no frills. It's very much a Chicago thing. Like I want you to sit at a bar and look at a $12 cocktail and go, yeah, I'll pay that because I know what goes in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I won't pay that. I'll take a beer because I know what goes in this and it's not trying to convince you to order a $12 cocktail. It's telling you that a $12 cocktail is worth it. If it's up to a particular
standard. It's Tim Williams, the proprietor, the chief, the CEO, the creator of Poor Souls, P-O-U-R Souls.
Yep.
And is that the website?
PoorSoulsChicago.com, PoorSoulsChicago@gmail.com.
And you can find out more, we'll more conversation with him, Rob Martier, Elliot Serrano, Roger Badish, Craig Collins, when we come back. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It is the weekend wind-up, and our bartender tonight is Tim Williams, the CEO, creative mastermind behind Poor Souls, P-O-U-R-S-O-U-L-S, Chicago.com. For information, do you have workshops for people to be more comfortable in their mixology expert? Like, well, I know you don't like mixology as a description.
It's, no. I don't like mixologists as a...
Well, but here's the thing. Yes. And one of the things that I learned, one of my friends, Christine Bloomer, who we lost several years ago, would talk about when you have certain, when you use or shake, let's say shake or stir, sure, the impact of ice. I think that there are elements of chemistry, and it's why people maybe use the word, the phrase mixology, but they have taken it to a level where it seems almost too complicated.
But mixology, I understand. But mixology is what happens when I make a cocktail, when I shake it, when I strain it, when I stir it, whatever.
Right.
Right. Like the physical, physiological.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Right.
We'll go with that.
Whatever changes. Right. That's one thing. But I also understand when, you know, when I was 21 or 22 and this sort of thing started, or became much more prominent. And I remember people saying, well, I'm not a bartender. I'm a mixologist. And then there was a sharp turn shortly thereafter.
It's almost snooty of them, isn't it?
Definitively.
Yeah. And there's an ability to being a good bartender.
Yeah, absolutely.
Meet you at the Yacht Club.
Right?
Five.
Like, I'm not a barber. Mm-hmm. I'm a haircutologist. Like, no, a barber. I mean, you talk about a venerable service industry profession. It doesn't get much better than being a barber. Like, you are, you are something to someone. And you always have been. And that's what I think bartenders are sort of missing, especially watching a ton of younger people come into the market or just sort of be growing up in this market. And,
right.
And, you know, there's all kinds of things that are just like, I get to be one of the old guys now and talk about these bartenders that only know things, you know, they only know how to make cocktails with ice that's from an $8,000 ice machine, whereas you want to talk to you about this and that, whatever, it doesn't matter. The point is, yes, to answer your question, September 20th, we are doing a class at the Chopping Block, Mixology 101, ironically enough, but it's about when and how and why, you know, why would you shake a cocktail? Why would you stir a cocktail?
Yes.
You know, how do you serve a cocktail? What happens when I do this with a cocktail? What's the sort of the basic rubric of a really good cocktail? So we explore balance and all those kinds of things in a way that is super approachable, and in a way that I think makes this whole sort of confusing part of food and beverage not so confusing.
And it's on what day at Chopping Block?
It's Tuesday, September 20th, so it's coming up.
And people can register for this on your website?
People can register if you go to the Chopping Block or if you go to our Facebook page. If you go to our Facebook page, excuse me, Poor Souls, there is a link to the class. And I think there are 4 spots left. And yeah, it's going to be about an hour and a half. We're going to do 3 cocktails. And when you leave, I promise you that you will know how to put together a cocktail for you, your friends, and it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
And you also do private events. Rob was mentioning kind of a Tupperware party situation for people to take away the mysticism of making drinks.
It's exactly the same thing, actually. So we do it in the Chopping Block. So what's great is that we've had a workshop in years past, but it works because Chopping Block is such an incredible institution in Chicago. They've been at it for 20 years with 2 locations. And it's awesome when two different businesses have a very similar philosophy and manage to be able to combine and sort of accomplish the goal. So for us, I had the opportunity to sit down with the owner over the course of 2 months and sort of convince and poke and prod and follow up and hope that they would sort of accept us into their wider network. And so, we're at the Chopping Block.
And it's Mixology 101
on the 20th, and it's all about cocktails. It's all about how to be comfortable making your own cocktails.
And Rob, you were mentioning that your go-to is a little ginger ale,
about 4 fingers of bourbon and a little splash of ginger ale.
What's a finger?
Put them on the edge of the glass. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want in a traditional rocks glass, like an 11-ounce big sort of hefty glass. Mm-hmm. A finger would be sort of a shot, a pony, a jigger, whatever people call it. And so people say, you know, two fingers of something. And it's generally if you put your finger on the,
put your two fingers
on the side of the glass, you just pour up to the two fingers.
So one finger is in that size of a glass is a shot?
Yeah. I mean, this is not exactly scientific, but generally speaking, it's like one serving.
I demand that it's scientific and because my finger is the same size as everyone else's.
As everyone else's.
Yeah. there you go. What should people have? What staples should people have if they are entertaining? What sort of, you know, which liquors and liqueurs and mixers?
I think that you, okay. So simply, I think you should have one of each of the sort of five base spirits, right? Mm-hmm. Rum, tequila, vodka, excuse me, whiskey, and gin.
Mm-hmm. And what is the importance of the type? I mean, are there, I know those are five that you just mentioned.
Sure.
So going into detail of what each one is, but is there, you know, are there kind of basics? You don't want to get the ones that we would call in the well, right?
Well, you don't want to get bottom of the barrel. Right. You're exactly. So if you come across one company that makes five different spirits, avoid that. Like McCormick's, Bellows, any of those.
They're
sort
not
of
sponsors,
like,
right, Craig? Those are. The,
I hope not. Right. Those are the things that, like, if any of us bartended in college or you, whatever, like, those are the ones where, like, your well was these, and it was like $4 for a pitcher of something. If you went to a big, to a Big Ten school, it was a 32-ounce, whiskey and Coke, and it was Bellows. But you want, you know, I feel like a good. I don't know if I want to give a price point, and I don't want to give brands either. But basically.
Do a little bit of research. I mean, there are places you can go to find out. Like, I'll Google if I'm at, let's say I'm at the grocery store,
sure.
and I want to look for a bourbon. I will do like best inexpensive bourbons, and like one of my new favorites is Larceny.
That's a good one.
That's really nice.
It's a great one, yeah.
And it's often on sale. Whether it's like in LA, it was at a Rite Aid for $22 for a whole bottle.
Sure.
And you know, and that's something that I brought as a gift for our good friend James Vickery, and that's his new favorite. So there are a lot of places that do great reviews. So if you have your phone, why not?
Sure.
You know, if you're in the aisle and you're overwhelmed by all the shelves, just Google best affordable gin and tequila.
I think that two sort of basic rules. I think for bourbon, something that a lot of people overlook, or not bourbon, the whiskey category in general, American whiskeys, look for bonded. I think bonded
for whiskey.
Bonded, okay. Yeah, bonded or generally overproof whiskeys would be the biggest bang for your buck.
Okay.
So you're looking for something that's 100 proof, so 50% alcohol by volume. And in those scenarios, or in that scenario, what you're getting is something that's going to stand up to being mixed quite well. So like an old fashioned, I always make them with 100 proof because you're going to be adding other flavoring components.
You know what you can do as well is go to Twitter and follow Bourbon Blog.
Ooh,
Bourbon Blog on Twitter. So if you're into bourbon, we'll help you out.
I've been staying away from Twitter for the last couple of days.
Just a couple of days.
We are hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio. It is the weekend wind up with Rob Martier, Tim Williams, the CEO of Pour Souls Chicago. Go to poursoulschicago.com, and that is P-O-U-R, because he pours your lovely cocktails and teaches you how to be comfortable making cocktails for your friends. So they have an event coming up, Mixology 101 at Chopping Block, Tuesday, September 20th. We have Roger Badish up in the newsroom, Craig Collins in the producer's booth, and riding sidecar tonight is Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. And I want to talk about Colin Powell's emails.
Wow.
I want to know what else he's got. Like, I think we're just scratching the surface, and I don't know what we want to scratch. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We are in the middle of the weekend wind-up. We talk about the stuff that maybe you shouldn't talk about at the bar with your friends or over Sunday dinner with your family. Your aunt doesn't want to hear about Colin Powell's emails. Maybe she does.
Oh, sure she does. These are juicy. Juicy.
What's the juiciest thing you've seen? Because last I heard were the Israeli warheads, and he was telling a friend of his.
That's frightening because that's top secret stuff.
Yes.
Let's be honest. If you're in the Middle East, you pretty much know that Israel has the warheads. But it's not something that you want out there.
You don't want the numbers given.
No. But what's the
juicy stuff?
Well, he certainly liked to use the word, and we're past midnight, so he certainly liked to use the word "dick" in a lot of his emails.
Who's a dick?
In referring to Bill Clinton, the former president of the United States, Colin Powell, in one exchange, said that he's probably still dicking bimbos.
What?
Yes.
You're going to have to definitely edit that.
Said about what? Donald Trump that he's a national disgrace.
Okay. But did call him a dick?
That's fair.
No, actually, surprisingly, didn't.
All right, then.
Didn't.
But he used it with Bill. He used it as a verb.
That would be an insult to dicks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Referred to Hillary Clinton
as actually hold the record for the most number of times that's been said on WGN radio.
But that's a direct quote. So
it's right. We are quoting. Yes, we are. This is journalistic endeavors right here.
In a few exchanges with his business partner, referred to Hillary Clinton as a friend, but also called her greedy and someone that I don't want to have to vote for.
Ooh.
So it was an interesting contrast because he said that she's, you know, that he respects her,
right,
but yet wouldn't vote for her.
But is there any more on the greedy part? Because it seems to me she is more greedy as far as power goes.
Well, that's basically it. I'm paraphrasing here. He said that she's basically power hungry.
Power hungry. Yes. I would see that. Yeah, I could see that being the truth.
So it was just interesting because now you get a snapshot as to how one of the world's, and I would still refer to him as a great leader, really feels.
Well, and you know, isn't anybody who aspires to rise to the level of general and secretary of state also somehow greedy for power?
Sure, absolutely.
But so, how is she different than him then?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say she's different. I think with Colin Powell, though, he's always, I mean, there was only a limit to what he wanted out of his life of service. Like, he's like one of the few men on that side of the aisle that I would have voted for as president if he decided to run. And I mean, it's too bad that they handed, you know, they put yellow cake uranium basically around his neck as an albatross. That
I wonder if he wears that like around, like does he have the vial like on
a vial of
chain?
Yellow cake? Yeah,
yes,
you know, kryptonite
that he had to, you know, kind of like sell that whole bit. But yeah, Colin Powell. Wow, you know, I think after a while he just kind of got tired of people talking about his private server.
No. Well, but he's not releasing this. Where are these coming from again? Is this Snowden?
This is from this is from another group. It's called DC Leaks.
Okay.
So kind of a WikiLeaks sort of operation. And they were able to get a hold of the Gmail account.
Okay. So this is, again, you know, I think that, who was it? Mayor Daley said, if you don't want to see it in a headline, don't put it in email. Don't put it in writing.
Yeah. Don't put it on Gmail.
Don't put it.
Come on. It was yellowcake 123. That was his password.
Here's the lesson learned, right? Now, for all you politicians out there, please listen up.
Mm-hmm.
As we say to our kids, if you don't want it sticking, don't put it out on email or Facebook, any sort of electronic communication.
Yes.
That's it. It's done. It's out there forever.
Yeah.
Yep. I really thought he was going to say, don't lick it.
I know. I wasn't sure where the sticky, like, I was like, that
you
felt like there.
Stick. No,
I wanted something tactile in that. Yeah. Don't mush it. Don't smear yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Don't smear jelly on it.
Yeah. I've been torn all day when I heard the story earlier today about Representative Ron Sandak, who I have known in my exchanges with him in Springfield. I actually found the selfie that I have with him that I don't even know that I ever posted. He always was outgoing and willing to talk to us, very animated in arguments on the floor of the House of Representatives, obviously very passionate about his community and the people that he served. And I think today's news, you know, when the story broke that he was stepping down and he said he wanted to spend some more time with his family and that his he had had some technical, you know, there had been some breach of his security. I think that the rumors were already starting to swirl. And it was unfortunate to find out that he's being extorted.
Well,
it's such a seedy story.
It's seedy, but look, let's be honest. Any time that a politician finds themselves in this position, 9 times out of 10, it's always been brought upon themselves by themselves.
Right.
And that such is the case with Ron Sandak. Now, he's got personal issues to deal with. He's got family issues to deal with. I'm not here to wipe my feet all over the guy. But you've got to understand that when you're in a position like he held and you are as, like you said, animated, and people know who you are, you've got to walk a very fine line.
He was a rising star in the state of Illinois, I thought. And he really, again, I think that he was very passionate about serving the constituents in his community. Mm-hmm. So I feel bad for them because they really had a champion for, if they agreed with him, if they were the ones that voted for him, and he was bringing a lot of attention to his community and people who agreed with him. So I feel bad for his family. And it is amazing. When we've talked this week about Hillary Clinton having hubris, I think that was a word that Colin Powell used in regards to Hillary, but it does seem to be prevalent amongst a lot of our politicians, that they just kind of think that they're, untouchable. Whether it's Wiener, who just like,
I don't think you can be a politician and ascend to a particular level without that kind of makeup. I think it's in their DNA.
The conviction that you are right, I think, is the part that people ask me if I want to run for office. I don't think I can have that level of hubris of the blinders on and that whatever I do is absolute.
My mother-in-law has said to me on more than one occasion, why don't you run for state representative? And, you entertain the idea, but it's fleeting. Mm-hmm. And
Was Murphy because I think he was Arlington Heights, Mount Prospect. No,
I have.
Because Murphy
Neckritz.
Also. Oh, Neckritz.
Oh,
she's,
I like her. Yeah, I don't know her. She's never knocked on my door.
Well, I will tell her where you live.
Please do.
All right, then. Because Senator Murphy also stepped down not too long ago, but doesn't seem to have been under the same circumstances.
I don't think so.
I think he just wanted to pursue other interests. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting fall because we still have a lot of seats up for grabs. Every single seat in the House of Representatives is up for re-election. So if you are wondering, Roger, who do you have in your district, sir?
I'm up north, Evanston area.
Okay. Are you in the Evanston Skokie area?
Yeah.
Do you have, Senator Biss your guy? He's not running right now.
No. Biss is not. I have to think about it because I do the Skokie parade, and every politician in the world came walking by, and I had to introduce them all.
Right.
And
so they all blur together.
I got confused.
All right. Well, Elliot, you know your folks, don't you?
Yes.
Okay.
Nolan and Crespo.
Nolan and Crespo. Excellent. Tim, you're a representative and senator? No.
Not a clue.
Do you vote?
Yes.
All right, then.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of my representatives is in Evanston. She's, she's been there for a long, 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 long time.
Okay.
And now I can't, you have not had her on the show, I don't think.
Well, it's because you haven't given me her name. She's been there for a long, long time. I don't know how to narrow that field down.
I thought you shook hands with everybody.
I have. I've met most of the people in the House of Representatives and on the Senate floor. All right. People who, again, who I believe have the intention of doing a good job, and along the way things happen. Ooh, by the way, did you see, what about this documentary that's coming out about Madigan that's funded by Rauner?
I'm going to see that.
Is it going to be in the theaters?
Limited release, and it's going to be online as well.
And what about Governor Rauner basically
spreading some money around, huh?
In Indiana.
And in Missouri.
What?
Yeah.
Why? $100,000.
You know what? He's putting his money where his mouth is.
Or something else.
Well, whatever.
I don't know what that is.
Money to burn, baby. Money to burn.
I don't know if that's where the money should go. Yeah, he's supporting politicians in Indiana and in Missouri. I don't know. Maybe so they can buy more billboards in Chicago. Is that what it is? Rob Martier, I believe you're taking leave of us.
I am. I got to go home.
Right.
Baby girl has gymnastics in the morning.
Fine, then. Rob Martier, we look forward to seeing you again. We'll see you next week. Tim Williams, you're going to hang out. We have a conversation about where you should move if Donald Trump wins. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer, and Tim Williams, our chief bartender.
Officer.
Chief bartending officer. Roger Badish up in the newsroom. Craig Collins in the producer's booth. 312-981-7200. Join the conversation anytime by phone or by text. Love to hear from you. And I mentioned before the news that we were going to talk about a piece that ran in the Telegraph, which is it's actually a British publication, and letting us know as Americans that in the event that Donald Trump should win, they are giving us a list of alternatives to the cities that we live in. So it's actually dedicated to, like, if you live in New York, this is a city that would kind of be the parallel place in the rest of the world. However, I think that there are people who also don't like Hillary and would also want to move. So I think that this is, if the person you don't like wins, these are your choices, some of your choices to move to. Yes, Tim?
Were there
Is there any study about people that left when Obama was elected?
Oh, I don't know. I do know that the number of people who joined militant groups rose. So I don't know if that doesn't answer your question, but it is kind of like moving to an alternative reality.
I wish we were on satellite radio. So many things.
What do you want to say?
Nothing.
You can't use any curse words, but.
Well, I mean.
What? That's all you want to use in regards to the militants?
No. Never mind. It doesn't matter.
It's okay. Well, no, Donald Trump said today that Barack Obama was, in fact, born here. So that should take care of all. The militants should all leave. If the ones that joined because he was a Muslim,
right.
They should now feel as though perhaps they made the wrong choice.
That's very logical, and I feel like that is the inherent problem in your argument, is that it's logical.
Now, do you feel that you need to move? Should one of these candidates win? Well, one of them will, but do you feel that if Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton wins, that you need to leave the country?
I don't. You know, I'll say this. I mean, we talk about leaving the country, but let's be honest. One, no other countries want us. Okay?
They don't like us. You're not wrong about that.
Right. It's like, yes. You know, we don't want to take any Syrian refugees. We don't want anyone from any other country coming in because we're going to build a wall, right? Mm-hmm. And yet we have this idea that, well, if we don't want to be here, other countries are going to accept us with open arms. Let's face it. Other countries are tired of America. They're looking at us in this election right now. The world, collective globe is looking at what's going on, mm-hmm. and they're going, I don't understand why you're having this problem right now.
Is anyone else seeing this?
Well, I mean, that's how we felt. That's how I felt when England voted for Brexit. But you know, I didn't know it was coming, and then when it happened, and you saw all these interviews, and people were saying, "Well, I'm just tired of the black people," or "I'm just tired of the immigrants." Mm-hmm. I went, "Oh, this isn't. It's not just
it's
here.
Not
this is
everywhere.
This is so bizarre." Well, and here's what I would say: I'm not going to leave my country because. And I've talked to Representative Robert Martwick about this. I do believe in democracy, and we have a system in place for a reason. It has worked. And I mean, Ben Carson at one point said he would vote for Donald Trump because it's only 4 years. How bad can it get? I disagree with that. I think it can get very bad if you have someone in office who's not qualified and can't do the job. But at the same time, I think that we are resilient enough as a country that if we have a bad leader, we can bounce back. And if we are so far gone that things have gotten bad, I think that we can turn around. Look, we had a recession. We had a significant recession. And, you know, wages went down. You know, the ability for Americans to earn money has suffered. And yet, since 2008, we are finally doing better than we were in 2006 this year.
Well, cumulatively, yes, but on an individual basis, not so much. The middle class is shrunk and gone. Poverty levels have risen. We have more people living in poverty now than we've had in the past.
And that's a result of a lot of the scams that were going on with the mortgage industry. And now, again, we find out that Wells Fargo had fake accounts going on. Right. So, you know, as much as we continue to give too much, so that we trust corporations quite a bit to the point where corporations are people.
I can't get over that. Yeah. I remember back in the 60s and 70s, that was this crazy idea that corporations would run the world. And and it's like that was a crazy idea in science fiction that no one believed it. And now it's happening.
Sterling Green is people.
Corporations have more rights than women do.
Well, and that's not just, you know, obviously isolated to the United States. So I don't know if moving anywhere is helpful, but this piece in the Telegraph gives us some, you know, options to move. But if you needed to put an ocean between yourself and the candidate that you don't like, here they've given us alternatives, not just to Chicagoans, but to other cities throughout the country. So, and this makes sense. If you live in New York, you should move, should you need to London.
I've been to London,
really?
And I've been to New York.
Yes.
And they are both very similar. Yes.
Yes.
The rush hour in both is ridiculous.
Yes.
Ridiculous. London has a pulse. That entire city has a pulse, just like New York does.
I agree. I think that's an excellent parallel move. Mm-hmm. Let's see. If you live in Seattle, I've never been to Vienna, but perhaps you want to move to Vienna.
Don't they have really good beer in Vienna?
Yes, they do.
Do they have really good beer in Seattle?
Yes, they have excellent craft beer industry.
Beers? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And plus,
each one comes with a mustache.
And they have a culture, they have a coffee house culture that is very similar to Seattle in Vienna. That makes a lot of sense. Right. I kind of like that.
But are they like really like, I mean, because when Tim was talking about, you know, it being really hoity-toity and kind of snobby about your drinks? I mean, is cocktails. It like the the coffee too? Because all I know is there's certain coffee shops I walk in and I know I'm paying an extra $3 for the attitude the guys give me. You know,
that makes sense. Yeah. I like that.
But so Vienna, are they snotty about their coffee?
I bet they are. All right. That's Vienna. It's just
Viennese. That's right. Yes, mm-hmm. That's where international flavors.
Yeah,
Viennese coffee.
That's exactly. See,
there you go.
If you live in Vegas, this seems like it would be a tough one. So if you live in Vegas, you should move to Macau. Oh,
mm-hmm. I would have.
It's all the gambling.
All is it all?
Yeah, Macau is real heavy casinos.
Well, there
lots
you
of flashy neon too.
I would have thought.
It's
like, Rio.
Let me tell you about this one time.
Hey, remember what happens in Vegas.
Macau. What happens in Macau?
Macau
apparently
stays in Macau. Yeah.
Well, apparently money stays in Macau because they have a GDP of $91,000, making it the fourth richest territory in the world.
Yeah. Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
It's very rich. Lots of money out there.
Palo Alto, California. You should move to Stockholm.
Isn't that where Stockholm Syndrome comes from?
I was just going to say, I don't know if that's a... But if you're living in Silicon Valley and are a Trumpophobe, and this is according to this article in the Telegraph, your best option is to move to Stockholm, where there's a very strong tech crowd and a nice outdoorsy vibe. That makes sense. I think Stockholm's good. If you live in D.C., Washington, D.C., you should move to Brussels because of the bureaucracy in Brussels.
And Jean-Claude Van Damme.
And a conservative. Really? Is, yeah, it's right.
So Jean-Claude Van Damme's from Brussels. And the parallel in D.C. would be maybe Chuck Norris.
I think that makes sense.
The muscles from Brussels.
The muscles from Brussels.
Also fine chocolates.
There aren't fine chocolates in D.C.
No.
Not in D.C., though.
No.
If you live in Sonoma, you should move to Georgia.
As in near Russia?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that like near the irradiated part?
Yeah, I wasn't really sure. That was the most confusing one to me, by the way.
I mean, but like Chernobyl?
They have a wine growing company, a region is really. Yeah, I wasn't really sure.
Radioactive wines?
They've been making natural wine.
In the dark.
They've been making wine in Georgia for 8,000 years.
Ooh.
8,000
years? 8,000 years.
Wow.
It's in the Telegraph. It must be true. It
must be true.
If you live in San Francisco, you should move to Sydney if you do not like one of the candidates that wins. If you're opposing candidate. It wins.
Can I say the fact that everyone in San Francisco should move to the other side of the world?
Why is that?
That's where the Giants are.
Oh.
And the 49ers.
I wasn't really
sure. Those are both. You know, right. 49ers and Giants fans should just move to the other side of the planet.
Here's one of my favorites. This is absolutely, I think between Londoners and New Yorkers, I think that's a very similar one. I think this is very accurate as well. If you live in Boston, quick guess. Anybody? Where should you move if you live in Boston?
Somewhere where traffic is horrible.
I think where it's Dublin, Ireland, and I think that's absolutely spot on.
Oh,
They really have no description of why. It just says Boston, move to Dublin.
I hear the traffic in Dublin is ridiculous.
Although it does say no outsiders can understand what anyone from either of these places is saying.
It's wicked hardcore.
Yeah, wicked smart.
Wicked.
I think that's brilliant.
Well, Esmeralda's there now.
That's true. She's in Boston. Yeah,
I was there at the beginning of the year.
She's posting some great pictures.
Beginning of September, I mean.
I love
Boston. We have relatives who live near Cape Cod.
Have you been to Dublin?
No, we would love to go to Dublin. One of these years when Bridget and I are healthy, God knows when that will be, we would love to go with her and her sister and brother-in-law and just go to Ireland and just travel.
You have to go. Here's one that makes no sense to me, and I'll have to read the synopsis. If you live in St. Louis, anyone? St. Louis? If you live in St. Louis?
I'm very
just
sorry.
Stay in St. Louis.
Just stay there. You lived there in the first place. Sorry, St. Louis. You have. By the way, they have a lovely public park, one of the largest and most beautiful public parks. But
if Trump gets elected, nothing's changing in St. Louis.
Well, and I have to read the synopsis, but where you should move is Buenos Aires.
No, that don't.
What?
Yes, you clearly, they're really stretching on this one. Yeah.
What reasons do they give?
They're stretching on this one. You clearly like the ebb and flow of a river, so head south from the gateway to the west to the rather more cosmopolitan Argentine capital where you can reinvent yourself. Here's the thing, they're saying reinvent yourself. So if you're coming from, that makes.
Wow. Weird. No, that has nothing to do with St. Louis.
No,
Argentina.
That was a weird. Had plenty to do with St. Louis.
So. They went to Mexico too, as well. Yeah. A lot of Latin America. Yeah. If you live in Honolulu, you should move to Okinawa.
Why would anyone want to leave Honolulu though?
Yeah,
you're not going to be affected by
you
anything.
You are not.
In Honolulu.
I agree.
And Okinawa is like they're like mirror images of each other. So,
And then New Orleans, you should move to Cape Town.
Everyone's just waiting for you to tell them where to go.
From Chicago?
Yeah.
I know. It's the last one. If you live in Austin, Texas, you should move to Hong Kong. That makes
sense. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that. Hong Kong, which is, okay, just like Hong Kong, Austin, Texas is nothing like the rest of Texas.
Yes.
Hong Kong is nothing like mainland China.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Plus, they have Chinese barbecue.
and they have the Chinese cinema out of Hong Kong. That's where a lot of their movies are produced, and because they're not under the communist rule as the rest of China. But
well, there you go.
Just like, you know, Austin, Texas is
it's like this pocket of artistic expression,
something like that.
As not that the rest of Texas doesn't have any, but it seems to be a little bit more liberal than the rest of Texas.
Oh, way more liberal than the rest of Texas.
If you live in Portland, you should move to Vancouver, which because Portland is a bastion of creative living, and Vancouver regularly tops the list of most livable cities with a gentle climate, good restaurants, and a ski haven with the wintertime.
Isn't Vancouver like pretty much across the street from Portland? Yeah. I mean, they're like both right there next to each other.
Yes.
I mean, rid of Washington, and then they're right there.
Get rid of Washington.
There you go. You are now in Vancouver. All right. So Chicago. Where would you think? Where would you think, Tim? We should move should we not like our candidate, our president? You have to leave the country. Where would you go as a lifelong Chicagoan, graduate of Walter Payton High School? Where would you live in the
world?
And
DePaul University. It didn't stop
and
there.
DePaul. No, but I'm just saying, it's a CPS graduate.
Toronto.
Ooh, Toronto's a good choice. I like that. Elliot.
Toronto is a very good choice.
Isn't Toronto used in movies and TV shows to represent Chicago?
This is true.
Or I think so.
Every city.
Every
right.
city. It is generic city USA in Toronto. Elliot?
Well, I was going to say Toronto, but since Tim took it, I will say Paris.
Oh, Paris.
I thought that was in LA or New York.
Yeah. No, Paris is not on the list at all. Neither is LA, actually. Apparently, they're just falling into the ocean. So it doesn't matter. Roger, where would you move?
Well, I've been to London.
Yes.
And while traveling around London, it struck me that it was so similar to Chicago.
Uh-huh. So you would move to London?
I would move to London.
How about Manchester?
Manchester, England?
Yes.
Right. Close enough.
Manchester. Already comfortable with Second City Syndrome, you'll slide seamlessly into the Manchester scene.
All right. I know.
After all, both cities share a predictably precipitous climate. Coupled with decidedly emotive music scene, you'll move from the home of the blues to the Smiths headquarters. Heaven knows, you're miserable now.
Isn't that where...
That was kind of the meanest one we ever had.
Yeah, but Manchester United... Mm-hmm. They're like the Yankees of European soccer.
Oh, that's not good for us.
I mean, we don't have anything like
Craig
that.
Craig might like it then. He might like Manchester, England.
Yeah, he's given the high sign.
There we go. If all else fails, by the way, if none of those ring your bell, what you should do, should you not like your president? Yes, Tim? Oh, let me say something. No, it's all right. You should live somewhere cheap.
Costa Rica.
St. Louis.
There's a map here, by the way, so you can go to telegraph.com and .co, by the way, .uk.
.co.
And find countries that are less expensive. You get some options in South America. A lot of places to go.
If
Bali High. Bali High. That's where I want to go.
All right, maybe Chile.
Bali High.
If Trump gets elected, I'm staying here to lead the resistance.
Ooh, look at your underground.
Come with me if you want to live.
Do we get uniforms?
I've heard that more often than I've heard, like, actually leaving. Like, initially, people were sort of jokingly like, oh, my God, where are we going to go? But a lot more people are just like, I'm going to stick around. And it's going to be like...
Year two, the Terminators start coming out. So I'm going to be ready for that.
All right. Well, I want to pick out the uniforms. When we come back, let's find out what festivals are going on in the Chicagoland area this weekend so you can keep enjoying summer, even though it's the days are getting shorter. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is the chief geek officer of the Pretty Late Show and in his own mind. That was unnecessary. Why did I even say that in your own mind?
Because it's true.
All right, then.
I mean, it's everything, the stuff that goes on in my mind.
It's all good then. You are the chief geek officer and also the creator of geektome.net. Everyone can go there to read all the great things that you write and follow you on Twitter at Elliot Serrano. Two L's, two T's, R's.
Two R's.
All the things. R. All the things. Tim Williams, the proprietor, the CEO, the mastermind behind Poor Souls Chicago. Go to poorsoulschicago.com for information how you can learn to be comfortable with making cocktails for yourself and your friends. Is the best way to, is that to summarize it? Tim?
Yes.
All right, then.
That was perfect.
All right. And Roger Badish joins us in the newsroom. Craig Collins in the booth. And the days are getting shorter. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy yourself getting out and about. You know what's coming up? What's wrong, Elliot?
I know. The days are getting shorter, and I can't handle that.
You and I, we do a good job. I hang out enough with you to know that we do a good job of making sure we enjoy getting out, you know, socializing, going to events, going to, you know, performances, going to great bars and restaurants. So I think that it's good to go out and enjoy, you know, try something new. There's some great things. You can go to the, there's a girls' night out tonight, Saturday night at the, this is a girls' night out ghost tour. That's what's happening this month. A lot of ghost tours, by the way, are springing up. And I think we have to find out what Adam Selzer's. We've got to go on an Adam Selzer tour.
I know he's got a few. He posted one of his tours on YouTube. The whole bit for it.
The architect tour?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can go to, this is the Girls Night Out Ghost Tour in Naperville. You can, it's going to do all the downtown historic. What was that?
We have a second commercial break.
Also, there is a pumpkin fest coming up at Siegel's Cottonwood Farm. And tonight, also a Nude Hope, a Star Wars burlesque. So those are some of the events this weekend. More when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Elliot Serrano, our Friday night sidecar. He is our chief geek officer and the creator of geektome.net. Go there to find all the great things that he writes and also follow him on Twitter. And follow our escapades. They're often together and apart. Here, we find ourselves in interesting situations around the city, don't we?
Yeah. Our Instagram tends to blow up.
It does a little bit.
Yeah, it blows up whenever something happens.
We need to hang out more out and about with Tim Williams, our bartender extraordinaire and the creator of...
I would love to take you guys out drinking one night.
Okay, then.
Okay, now you don't tease me like that.
Yeah, really.
Don't say I would love to do that. Yeah,
rest
never,
up. Yeah, exactly.
And then don't call again.
You got to rest up on a Friday night because you know I know you got up early today, so you got to find a day you can take because we are done here on Friday nights at 2 a.m. So we got
to
find
then
a good
we're ready
four.
To go.
Yeah,
that's when things are the best.
That's what I'm saying.
That's when we're all done.
Like tonight's a little rough because we're all dragging a little bit. It's raining out. We don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll find a Friday night. We can do it after the show. You let us. Mother Hubbard's, by the way, better than I thought it was. I know I've mentioned it before. I went there with James Vickery one night. That was a lot of fun. It's a 4 a.m. bar.
Oh. Mother Hubbard's is an old, old establishment.
I know. And I've talked about having worked there for about 4 hours. And then I walked out. True story.
My question is, was the cupboard bare?
It was not bare. Oh. Some good food.
Was there a big shoe
a lot of
that
nachos.
All the kids lived in?
No, they did not live in that. Oh. Matter of fact, when I was a bartender and a waitress, I did, you know, and Tim, you'll attest to this, women are treated differently in the serving industry and the way customers talk to them and management.
Yes.
Yes. And what's expected of them, what they wear, how they look is addressed. That's how I was treated anyway, whether it's in comments. I was told one time that I wasn't wearing enough makeup by a manager, by the way.
It's a really good way to get sued.
I know. It was a long time ago.
Well, these days.
In the 90s, not so much. Here's a job I will never have is working in the White House with a president. I don't see that ever happening as being an aide or a consultant or having any job there. Yeah, I don't see that in my career. Not going to happen. But it never really occurred to me that if you are a woman working in the White House, that it is as hard to be heard as it is in any other office. And regardless of who the president is, whether it's Barack Obama or George Bush, there are always going to be fewer women. There have traditionally been fewer women. There has never been a female president. So the voices that you hear are generally male dominated. There are people who shut down when they hear a woman talking. It's kind of brushed over. And the women who work in the White House found a technique to make sure that their ideas were heard. And because one of the things is that women get interrupted more often by men. And in general, by people of both genders, not just by men. But it is backed up by decades of research. And there's a word for it, by the way, when it's men. It's man-terrupting. Mansplaining is fun.
Well, actually.
Yes.
Actually.
Go ahead and tell me. Say, let me finish.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, let me. I heard someone say to Rachel Maddow, I heard them say, let me finish. And I was like, oh, here we go. And he goes, if I may. So he was asking if he could, which was different than just saying, let me finish, which is a directive, right? It's a command. Mm-hmm. And then it was asking, he was also asking for permission, which I thought was interesting. But the women in the White House have found a way to make sure that their ideas are heard and often used, which is when a woman would make a good point, another woman would repeat it or give credit to the originator. And this, now the important thing about this is collaboration, right? You have to not be afraid of someone else getting credit. You have to like put competition aside, and that's not easy for anybody to do, especially at that level.
Yeah, because when you're in the White House and you're in that room with the President of the United States, you want to stand out,
right?
And everyone's like trying to get his notice, and sometimes it happens everywhere. It happens in politics. It happens in the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
People kind of like steal each other's ideas,
and that's part of the technique, is to make it harder to ignore or steal an idea. And the women call their technique amplification. They started doing it, and then they made a purpose of doing it. And it became an everyday thing. And President Obama started noticing it and began calling on women more often. So they found out two things. First, repetition is one of the simplest ways of reinforcing any point. And by the way, this is a technique that comedians use. This is one of our favorite things. What are the three top rules of comedy? Repetition, repetition, repetition. So that's we already knew that.
Mm.
I'm not saying we're ahead of the game.
Unless Carlos Mencia comes along and steals all your jokes.
Oh, there's that too. Yeah.
But doesn't that...
Repeating someone else's idea to make sure that their idea is heard.
Right, but it just seems like at that point...
Does it become annoying?
No, this all sort of hinges on them agreeing. Or at least...
Yes, absolutely.
Which is a problem.
It's not easy to do, but they found a way to do it. They were able to...
It's just a weird... I don't know, it's a weird thing to read an article about when basically you're saying like... I don't know. It seems
at that level. Like, what is it going to do for other women in other workplaces when they are kind of scratching for less than the women in the White House are?
Yeah, sure. Like, so this was printed out, so we could all read it. And there's, and maybe this is out of context, but what it says specifically, when a woman made a good point, another woman would repeat it and give credit to the originator. So does that mean as soon as they're not saying the same thing, they're just reduced to... I mean, this is sort of indicative of like a lot of things that you guys talk about on the show, and that a lot of issues that are happening right now is that it's great as long as we're all saying the same thing, but it sucks when like...
If you don't agree with it.
You don't agree with it. How are you supportive to someone that you don't agree with?
So assumptive agreement is a tricky thing, right?
And then this notion that like, and then it's weird. It's sort of like this full circle where then you get accused of just agreeing with that person because they look like you, or because she's right. Because if you're only ever doing this tactic when
another woman
makes a good point, it's so easy to sort of pigeonhole and sort of point the finger. And I feel like that's sort of I don't really know where that was going, but it's just sort of something that seems... It's
for the sake of doing it.
It's very similar to a lot of conversations that we have where it's sort of like a damned if you do, damned if you don't. It helps us collectively, but what does it do individually? And then also, why do we have to think about those two things, and why do they have to be, you know, forever joined or mutually exclusive?
Well, I don't think that it does have to be forever joined. I think that chipping away at the way things have been done is the first step. And I think then that you can find an independent path once the people that are the ones that are shoved aside are heard more often, and it becomes, you know, routine to go, oh, because otherwise what seems to have been happening is that women aren't heard. You know, Gilda Radner wrote in her book a lot about when she was at the table at Saturday Night Live, and because she and Jane Curtin and I always forget the other woman, Lorraine Newman. Because of the tone of their voices, because they were not as loud or aggressive and sometimes mean as John Belushi or Dan Aykroyd. And mean sounds bad, but there is that sort of level of harassing each other, like making fun of each other, and that tone, that it was much harder to get their skits up, to get their ideas across. And I don't know, I don't know that they would have been different. And obviously, we know that their results were brilliant. They all had great skits. How much were of their own creation, we don't know. But I don't know that they had that sort of element of, you know, reinforcing each other's ideas. Like Gilda Radner's writer, she had a guy on the staff who helped her get a lot of her skits on. She had someone that she teamed up with from the very beginning on the first day. So maybe it is like making sure that you have a network, you have other support, whether it has to be someone of the same gender or of the same, you know, conscious of like the ideas that you want to get across. Because you're saying if you're agreeing with somebody for the sake of getting just a gender, you know, one side heard over the other, is that beneficial? Is that really helping everybody?
Well, it's not that, because I mean, I think we all know the answer to that is no, right? But I think that it's just an interesting complex where you're sort of tied to a person because of something, and that, I don't know what I'm trying to say now.
Well, this is more about the idea of cooperation, and it is gender specific in the sense that, because often women don't support each other, and we are outnumbered in most of the, you know, higher levels of whether it's executive or political. So I think that that's, and I don't know if it is racially, is it the same thing? Would it be the same if it was, you know, men and women who are Latino or Black or Asian? Would that also, you know, carry along the same sort of power to cooperate and reinforce each other's ideas?
You would think. It also depends on where this collective is coming together.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's one thing if it's a community group. It's another thing if it's a corporate office. Another thing if it's, you know, the White House and around that table where you're talking to the president. To me, that will make a big difference, because again, that kind of shapes where everyone's motivations are.
Right.
You know, a community center, you know, what are we doing? We're working collectively to improve things. That should be the way it would work in the White House.
Right.
But let's face it, there is a different attitude there.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think when you get into race or gender or any sort of anything, I mean, anything that's not, I mean, what are we talking about? Like white,
well, traditionally,
male,
right. Traditionally
white male
in power.
Patriarchy, yeah. Sort of thing. Right. Like, I feel like the further you can fracture anything that's not white male patriarchy down, the all the different sort of things that you can point to that aren't that, that's when you sort of become fractured to a point that you can't get anything done.
Right.
Right. When you have feminists versus, you know, feminists sort of in the quotations, but then there's Black feminism and there's all these different types of all these different things, and ultimately like everybody's angry at one thing or not feeling
well. And I don't think that the women who were amplifying their ideas were doing it to attack or isolate the men's ideas, but it was in order to bolster their own projects or their own concepts.
Certainly.
Right.
I just think it was really just sort of a side comment to think, just kind of thinking, I'm not playing devil's advocate, but just sort of saying like, at some point it's a little bit, it just really makes you, it's a moment to pause where you think these women are sitting at a table with the president and still have to figure out a way
to be heard,
not sort of get mansplained everything to, right? Like, that's insane. That's crazy. And then also how still their device does sort of pigeonhole them in that neither one of them is going to be not genuine to themselves. So they're not going to agree with you for the sake of agreeing.
Right.
So now the whole thing hinges on an agreement. So right. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Tim, Can you mansplain to another man?
You can Elliot-splain. Give me the good stuff coming up after this. 312-981-7200. Tell us something good, because we'll tell you something good about our day. Oh, we are heading into the home stretch. Is Matt Bubala here tonight? Sometimes he has events with his kids on the weekends, so I'm not sure. Wait, let me see. It is Matt Bubala. Matt Bubala keeps, by the way, this is a synopsis of his show, keeps you entertained and informed as you kick off your weekend. So there you go. Oh, wait a minute. We have Todd on the line for our Tell Me Something Good. Hey, Todd, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
It's Todd Chuchuk. I wasn't sure. It's always good to hear your voice, sir.
Yeah, I've got something great, not good. I play a doubleheader tomorrow in baseball, and I get on a plane, and I'm taking my wife to Vegas for her birthday and our 25th anniversary.
Well, happy birthday and happy anniversary. Happy birthday to her, and happy birthday anniversary to both of you. What anniversary is this?
25.
Oh, that's a good one. How long are you going to Vegas for?
4 days.
Nice.
He should go to Macau afterwards.
Yeah, he should go to Macau.
It's just like Las Vegas.
Yeah, I think so. I think he'd enjoy it there. What's your favorite thing in Vegas? Because I haven't been in a long time.
You know what? This isn't even a gambling trip. This is we're just going to see shows every night
and get some good food. So much good food in Vegas.
Yeah. David Copperfield? Is David Copperfield there?
He is there, but we're going to see Chris Angel, Mind Freak. We're going to see Cirque du Soleil, Ka,
nice
Billion Dollar Quartet, and Jersey Boys.
Oh, fantastic!
Wow, that's a lot of shows.
That is a lot of shows. Yeah. That's a lot of fun.
Night.
And you deserve it. You deserve a trip with your lovely wife. And congratulations! Yeah. And have a great doubleheader too.
We better win, because that'll be the end of the season. If not, I'll be very upset.
You can't be upset. You're getting on a plane to Vegas.
That's true.
Yeah, you'll let it go. That is something good. Thank you so much, Todd. That is firefighter.
All right, take care.
Thank you, firefighter Todd Chuchuk. Oh, I forgot. You know what? I should have asked him about my emergency ladder. I have good news. I got out of my. I was locked in my bedroom for an hour and a half, and I am well now and ready to buy an emergency ladder in case there's a fire when I'm locked in my house.
Did you get like a milk jug for those emergencies?
No. you're probably right. I probably should have had something ready to go, because that was not, I was in a lot of pain. Tim, before you finish packing up your bag, tell us something good. Besides the event you have coming up on September 20th for Poor Souls at the Chop House, the Mixology. I'm sorry, that's what I said.
Chopping, that is what you said.
I heard it both ways. Chopping Block on September 20th, Mixology 101.
Cocktails. Mm-hmm. Something good that happened today.
Yes.
We had a good shift today. I had a really good shift today.
What made it good?
I got to work with a buddy of mine that we've known each other for a while, and we just started working together about 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Oh, cool.
And you two have a great relationship on air, and it's important that we have that behind the bar so that we can kind of, you know.
There's a rhythm. You get into a rhythm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you get into a groove.
And I feel like on a Friday night with a lot of people coming through the door with rain and other weird stuff that happened tonight, I think the best thing that could have happened was just to have a good shift and then come hang out with you guys.
Yeah, someone like, oh, thank you.
Was it like a Tom Cruise in Cocktail where you're like flipping bottles?
Yeah, but that turned ugly, didn't it?
Yeah. Someone got stabbed. There was a lot of weird stuff. This is nothing like that.
Excellent. Elliot, yes? Did you have more good stuff? I don't want to cut you off, Tim.
No. That was the best.
And what's the name of the other bartender?
His name's Arthur.
Hey, Arthur.
And we work at Nosh and Booze together at 838 West Randolph.
Nosh and Booze.
Yeah. Excellent. Food and drink.
That sounds like the title of it. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Nosh and Booze. Elliot, tell us something good.
This is going to seem kind of inside baseball for folks who aren't familiar with how comic books are produced, but I'm working on a series right now called Homies.
Yes.
And today my editor sent me the proof for the second issue. Andrew Huerta, who's doing the art on this book, is knocking it out of the park. I'm going to tell you, when you guys pick up this book, it's going to be something great. So by all means, I'm excited. I saw it. I was like, oh my goodness, this book really looks good. It's
going to
be
cool.
A really good comic, so I hope folks enjoy it.
Excellent. Hey, we have a caller, a listener. Oliver wants to tell us something good. Hey, Oliver.
Hey, how are you?
Very well. Tell us something good.
So, I'm a professional DJ for a living, and I absolutely love what I do. And today I got to DJ two separate events, and the second event that I did was a wedding. And there's always a lot of gratification that comes out of doing something like that because it's such an important day to the people that you're, you know, doing it for. And on top of that, I got a $200 tip.
Hey!
So I got paid well. Yeah, you can't beat that, man. I got paid well for what I do. I do what I love for a living, and I got $200 on top of it that I wasn't expecting. So it just keeps getting better.
That is wonderful. God, that is a good feeling when people appreciate what you do and you love what you do. That's a wonderful place to be.
Oh, my God. At the end of the night, the groom actually asked me for the microphone, and then he encouraged the rest of the crowd to give me a round of applause for how great of a job he felt I did for him that night. That was really flattering, too. Yeah.
Well, that is cool. How can other people get your get a hold of your information and hire you for your services?
Oh, well, thank you. The name of my company is Entourage Mobile Entertainment, and you could go to entouragemobileentertainment.com. So it's Entourage with an E, and they can find me on Facebook as well, too, just by searching those keywords.
Perfect.
Wow.
Well, there you go.
Thank you.
That's all good stuff. You have a great weekend, Oliver. You're off to a good start.
Bless you guys.
Of course.
Thank you so much.
Bless you as well. Thank you. Matt Bubala's in the studio. Hey, Matt Bubala.
Hello, Patty Vasquez.
Go Cubs!
Hello, Elliot.
Sorry. It's very exciting, isn't it?
It is very exciting. It's a little too soon. A little too soon.
What's too soon?
I don't know. I get...
No, I'm turning your microphone off. No, enjoy it all. No, sorry. What do you mean it's too... What's too soon? Hold on a second. What can I throw at him?
Hey, Matt, why aren't you wearing a Star Wars Cubs shirt?
Ooh, are there Star Wars
Cubs There are shirts? Star Wars Cubs shirts.
Throw like a girl.
Ow.
Wow, there you go.
For people who are not watching on the live stream, Patty is now throwing things at Matt Bubala, who is deftly avoiting them. And now he is throwing back.
What do you say? I feel like a girl. It's
equal
like,
opportunity.
These are mints. I'm going to keep those.
What are you throwing? Oh, mints?
Mostly highlighters, but now I have mints. Okay. What do you mean it's too soon? All in, baby. You hear Carrie Wood?
Too much time now
all
before
in.
The playoffs start.
It's not too soon. All in. You too much get time. Excited. No, for what?
I am excited. Of course I'm excited.
What do you mean? There's too much. The rest of the season?
They clinched a little too soon. It makes me nervous that they have this much time now where the games don't matter. Plus, the way the playoffs are set up, they're going to have like 5 days off before they start playing. It just makes me nervous.
They still have to. They still have to get home field advantage.
That would be nice. Yes, I agree. I agree.
And it gives them a chance to rest.
Yes.
And get their rotation
yes.
set up.
Plus, I think Joe Maddon has this kind of stuff figured out.
I know,
as far
I
as
know.
Like, you know, rest and gearing up.
He'll bring kangaroos and alligators into the clubhouse.
Yes,
it'll be magic
but it's
again.
Magicians.
It's
yes.
part of your whole life being a Cubs fan, where you always wait for the other shoe to drop. That's just what it is.
I'm gonna throw things at you.
And more things. And she's got a wrench in there. It's going to be like
no wrenches.
Ball.
Be the first no time. Wrenches.
I have scissors in here. Let's keep
no
those.
Scissors.
A frying pan.
Good lord.
You can dodge a wrench. You can dodge a ball.
I need sound effects for this moment.